B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, the Overwatch League 2020 schedule has been revealed. We're going to break it down. Plus, we're going to take a look at some of the lesser known titles that have been announced out of Gamescom that have us excited. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with something that really grinds my gears. I don't think people understand the way that sports work based on the reactions to the live audience out at the International 2019. It's embarrassing, guys. Do you not know the concept of rooting for your home team?
Yeah, so this is something that has been going around, making its way around Twitter. Reactions to the International 2019. And I mean, there's been a lot over the last week or so.
Sure.
I mean, whether
can we talk about reactions to the skyline and in Shanghai this year? Is that where it's at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're on a bunch of the skyscrapers. They actually have like the team's logos.
Holy
did you
God,
see
is that?
That
cool?
It was so freaking awesome.
I thought that was maybe one of the coolest things that has ever been done for esports.
And this is what we talk about when we say, like, you know, while esports is starting to grow and take off over here, it's already well established in Korea and China and
absolutely
a lot of the Asian
sure
countries. You're a rock star there if you're an esports athlete. It's
totally
way different than it is here.
Yep.
But we've seen things like people complaining about the casting at the International, people saying it's cured their insomnia.
It's low energy.
Yeah, not something you ever want to hear.
No.
That has supposedly gotten better. Some of the new casters that are kind of coming on right now have actually been pretty good. But one of the things that we've been hearing this week is fans complaining that the home crowd is supporting the home teams an awful lot and not the other teams as much.
What?
As in, if there's no Chinese team competing, they're really quiet.
Okay, well,
and when there is a Chinese team competing, they're really loud.
Yeah.
That's
how sports works. You cheer on the home team. Why is this complicated?
Do we have to give them like what, pity cheers? Is that what you want?
I mean, this is the thing, right? So
are they at least booing them? Maybe they want them to boo. Maybe it's too quiet when the non-home teams
No, there's
come out.
Definitely been some boos.
There's
been
some boos for sure. But here's the thing, like, yeah, like sports have been around for a long time, and apparently, maybe, you know, a lot of esports fans, maybe they aren't traditional sports fans. They don't realize that when your team isn't competing, you tend to care less.
Yeah,
especially in something like where it's your whole country. Like if we're at, you know, the World Cup or something, let's say or the Olympics, we're hosting the Olympics and there's a matchup between, you know, Germany and Russia. I'm sorry, that's not going to be as loud as the U.S. versus Canada.
Of course not. And part of it is that, like, yeah, you're not getting much of an international crowd there, right? You've got a very much home team crowd. But that's the thing. Like, again, no one should be expected to cheer for a team that they're not actually rooting on.
Hold on. Did you just say, too, that they were complaining that when the Chinese teams were out there, people were cheering too loudly?
Yeah, there was a lot of people who were complaining that you know, it was hard to hear what was going on because the crowd was a bit too noisy, as they put it.
I'm sorry, was that person 80 years old?
Okay, first of all, that's a miking issue and a mixing issue. If it's something in the stream presentation, they could have turned down probably some crowd miking.
Right? And, I mean, and to be fair, that's generally what they were asking
for.
It's like, hey, can we turn up the in-game volume a little bit so we can hear what's going on?
That makes a little bit more sense. Although I do want to read a tweet here from Slasher. This one had caught my eye. The Chinese crowd at the International booed Filipino team TNC Predator, who features Cuckoo, a player banned by Valve for the Chongqing Major in China last year, for saying, I'm just going to call it a racially charged.
It was perhaps not the most sensitive.
Probably not.
Okay.
Especially not for being in Chongqing. Uh-huh. So, he said that at a public Dota game, and they banned him. So,
rightfully so.
Clearly, the crowd knows it's not a stupid crowd. Right.
They know who's there.
They know who's there. They know what's up. So, like, why are people getting upset? I don't understand where the outrage is coming from.
Now, another thing that people are dealing with is there are large sections of the audience that are empty. Large sections of the arena are not having people sit in them,
like they're not filling up or selling out enough.
Oh,
or
they're selling out, but apparently the scalping issue around this event is so bad that there's large sections of seats that are not no one's sitting in because scalpers have them and they can only take one seat at the end of the day.
That's disappointing. I mean, at the end of the day, the event organizers and, you know, the people who make the game, the TOs, everyone will get paid. Everyone made their money.
Right.
Right. Like, that's not a horrible thing. But it is disappointing to know that there were probably people out there who wanted to go that couldn't go because scalpers ate up those tickets.
Well, and there was an image that went around Reddit that said that showed the North American broadcast desk, and behind them there's this large section of empty seats, and a group is holding a banner across it that says shame on you demai.cn, which was the website that you had to go to, that Valve partnered with to buy tickets for. Tickets to the event sold out within 1 minute of going live.
Oh my god.
Yeah, tickets to the international were sold out within a minute. Fans were left on a loading screen. They were stuck waiting in a checkout trying to get through the tickets, and scalpers bought up tons and tons of tickets.
Listen, some of that is just digital ticketing. Like,
for
it happens.
Sure. There's only so much you can do.
Exactly, right? And you know, we've experienced this sort of stuff with events that we've tried to get tickets to, fan festivals and stuff like that, you know, where you had people who were buying tickets in bulk and then not able to resale their ticket, mm-hmm. you know, and I do think that there needs to be more thought paid by the organizations that are putting on these, you know, the digital ticketing sales on how to combat that, because it definitely has been a problem. Again, at the end of the day, everyone gets paid, so it's not that big of a problem. It's not a bottom line problem.
It's a production problem.
It's a production problem. I think, you know, you get a company like WWE, they can really kind of drive home the importance of that kind of stuff. You know, like they're a company that has always been really good about, you know, staging crowds, right? Like,
oh, definitely.
Even when they get a lackluster turnout on TV, you would never know.
When we were at SmackDown, I was thinking just that, because like you walk in and you'd be like, whoa, their attendance is maybe 2,000 people. Like,
yeah,
it's not good. But then you watch on TV, and
it looks full.
Everyone is conveniently placed right in front of the camera position.
Yeah. Well,
even one time when we were at the OWL arena, you know, they came over to us because we're sitting on the side, and they're like, you know, we have some camera shots coming up a little bit later. Do you guys mind moving over here to fill up these spaces?
Yeah, we need to make it look good. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally get it.
So really quick, guys, just because I had said it earlier, and I want to make sure that this is corrected, I just found another Slasher tweet that, like, just went out. And he even says, I hate to do this, but Valve has just confirmed to me that the photos above the Shanghai skyline, taken from the international opening trailer, are graphics for the video. Those are not real pictures.
No!
That's so disappointing.
My hopes are dashed.
Because it looks so good.
It does look. That looks real.
It really does.
I was believing for a moment.
Yeah.
Once again, something good in my life has been taken away.
Yeah. You know, thanks, Slasher and Valve.
Thanks for reporting the news.
Well, when you don't, I mean, listen, when you don't
look, when I saw the trailer, I assumed the same thing.
Of course. You just run to Twitter with it, and you don't bother calling the people who made the video to go, hey, was this
but on Valve,
a graphic insert?
On Valve, they should have also had a thing at the bottom that says actual gameplay footage, not final.
Come on.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Have you been watching the international? What do you think, man? Like, are you one of these people that are completely baffled by a home crowd rooting for its home team? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram, and we can explain it for you. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we've got to check out some of the lesser-known titles from Gamescom that have us excited. I already know which one I'm going to talk about. But ahead next, we got to talk about Overwatch League's 2020 schedule. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Overwatch League has announced their 2020 schedule, and we're going to break it down. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We have given a lot of thought as to what the 2020 season of Overwatch League could look like. They've promised that there were going to be road games, home and away games, starting in the 2020 season, and now the schedule has been announced.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's start with this. The big change to me that I'm seeing, obviously, in addition to home and away games, is we're moving from 4 days a week to 2 days a
week. That's right. We're also losing the stage playoffs. It'll just be one continuous long, regular season.
Right, one grind until the playoffs at the end of the year.
But first of all, I definitely think that dropping down the amount of games from, basically everybody playing in a week and going Thursday through Sunday and just playing on Saturday and Sunday, as a viewer, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a lot of Overwatch to consume in a week.
I mean,
it really is.
If you're just watching your team, it's probably fine. But as someone, who keeps up on it, there's a lot of fatigue there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's good to move just to Saturday and Sunday. I'm not necessarily certain that I'm happy that there's like way less games happening on a weekly basis, but I am glad that it's over a way shorter period of time. I don't want to have to dedicate 4 nights a week to watching Overwatch.
Exactly.
I'm fine with dedicating more time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Sure.
As a result, too, there's 27 weeks worth of regular season play instead of the 20, or I guess 23, even if you counted the stage playoffs, which, again, are no longer there.
Right. So it's just over half a year, and you consider one of those weeks as the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So we're going to have a longer season, kind of. It runs from February kind of through August, just mm-hmm. as it is now. My biggest problem with it is that in having less games per week, a lot of teams are going kind of long periods of time without playing. Do you realize that if you're an Atlanta Reign fan, your first week is week 4?
That seems weird.
I mean, that seems like an unfortunate side effect of crunching the 4 days of play down to two.
Well, I don't even.
There's only so many games that you can fit in those 2 days.
True, but what you also see is a lot of those teams playing multiple times in that. So for example, week one, you have the Eternal, the Excelsior, the Titans, the Fuel, and it looks like the Spitfire and the Valiant are all playing 2 games that week.
Right.
Whereas the Gladiators or the Shock and the Uprising are just playing one game that week. So I think where that comes in, because if they wanted to put like the Valiant in there or some other people, maybe each team plays one game a week.
Sure.
They could.
Sure.
But I think where we get this sort of format is they're also taking into consideration, well, we have to fly these players all over the place, get room and board for them. I think that this is also a matter of budget as well.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going over the recently revealed 2020 schedule for Overwatch League. And, you know, one of the things that, Robbie, you had brought up early on is that we've gotten rid of the stage playoffs. It's not separated into four separate stages any longer. And do you think that anything is lost by getting rid of the stage playoffs? Because it felt like, I mean, it felt like it gave, you know, the early season stakes.
Not even just early season stakes. There were stakes that remained throughout the entire season. Now, what I will say is last year when we were going into the Stage 4 playoffs, there was a certain lack of energy because people at that point were looking forward to the grand finals, right? The champions, which I get. And because of that, this reason, they dropped the Stage 4 finals. And the question that I have is, you know, the Stage 4 now still feels the same. It's like nothing matters. So what's worse, going into a Stage finals with sort of lackluster excitement or having a Stage 4 that there's no excitement whatsoever?
But I mean, I think we see this a lot in traditional sports too, where as the season drags on, you're like, once the playoff picture is mostly formed, people check out for up to 6 weeks before the playoffs start.
And one of the early things that we had said about the Overwatch League that a lot of us thought were really great was with the whole stage setup, it keeps you plugged in throughout the entire season.
Right.
And now we've just kind of, you know, degraded back down to what the traditional sports model is. And you're right. By about halfway to three quarters, a lot more people are going to be checked out.
And it's something that we see in like baseball, right? Like in baseball, you can't win a World Series in May or June, but you can sure as hell lose one in May or June. If you're 20 games under 500 in June, I'm sorry, but your season's over and you still got 4 months left of watching baseball, effectively meaningless baseball. So I feel like that's a problem that we're going to see here next season. You're going to have teams like if you're a Gladiators fan and at the All-Star break, you've won three games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
or if you're an Uprising fan, like,
we're going to talk about realistic things. Sure.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. No, don't give him an outstanding.
That was good.
No.
But here's the thing that really kind of bugs me about this. When I mentioned, you know, that the Atlanta Reign don't play for week four, ever since the founding of Overwatch League, one of the key things that they have been pushing is this idea of tribalism, and we really praise them for that.
Absolutely.
They were the ones who recognized there is an inherent value in getting people to root for the teams close to them. That's why they put them in cities. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't, on one hand, say, great, root for your team because it's in your city. Also, you're going to have to wait 3 weeks until you get to see them. You can't then expect me to watch everyone else play for 3 weeks at a time.
So taking that into consideration, too, is I actually think they're going to take a really big hit to their viewership. Because the other thing that they're doing now is that, for example, your Chinese teams are going to be playing in their local times.
Yes.
Which is great. But because they're not grouping all of these together in a single broadcast throughout the week, you know, there are some people who tune in and watch all of them if their favorite team is playing tonight or, you know, playing that night. I think that as a result of also spreading out these broadcasts, you might see a pretty decent sized hit to some of your viewership.
Yeah,
numbers.
I have to wonder what the path to growth is here, right? Like, if they're trying to grow Overwatch esports overall, I mean, yes, their North American viewership might take a hit in favor of some massive Chinese viewership, and there's going to be a push-pull there. And I understand what they're trying to do. I just don't know if the blueprint to get there has been fully formed, and I have to wonder if that's maybe the effect of Nate Nanzer leaving and going over to Epic.
Ooh, I mean, look, it's absolutely very possible, but with how far ahead that these organizations plan, I also have to wonder that there may be some Nate Nanzer in here already, and he helped them to put this plan together before he departed.
It could be. You got to wonder if their growth has been on track to what they've expected, right? Because that's the big question mark. Like, what did they pitch to investors in the league? What did they pitch to, you know, team people who are forming teams as to what they could expect on returns for viewership and fan investment.
Without knowing what the viewership through Disney and the ESPN app looks like, it's hard to know for sure. But at about this point last year, I feel as far as the Twitch viewership went, you know, early on in the season when it first started, it was huge. But I feel like some of it has fallen off, and we're at, if not lower, probably about where we were last year.
I'm seeing consistent five-digit numbers from Twitch, and that's never really kind of a good thing for how much investment has happened in Overwatch League. But listen, we want to hear from you. Have you started to notice some of these issues in Overwatch League, and are you excited for the 2020 season? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to talk about some of the lesser known games that have been announced at Gamescom and what we're excited for. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Gamescom 2019 is currently going on, and we're watching all of the different coverage that has been happening out there, out in, where is that, Germany?
Yep, Germany. Yep. And we're not in Germany. We're back here.
We're here in Detroit. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida, 99.3 FM. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. So, like I said, Gamescom currently going on. Lots of stuff being announced. It's Europe's E3, for those that don't know what Gamescom
thank
is.
Thank you. Thank
for
you.
The uninitiated.
Yeah. See, I always have an issue with Gamescom. Is first of all, the announcements are never quite as big as E3 is. It follows a few months afterwards.
Sure.
So usually it's more information, or there's, you know, some other smaller games that maybe.
More trailers, or we get release dates on games that were announced at E3. We get that a lot.
You're not quite on home turf either for TGS. Something like TGS, you get special announcements.
Right.
That are saved for an event like that, where, you know, E3 may be the biggest stage in terms of people paying attention to it, right?
Right, but Japanese companies are always going to hold stuff back for
Absolutely.
Tokyo Game Show.
Absolutely. So, there has been a lot that's been talked about. Obviously, people are going crazy about the Death Stranding trailers. We got to take a look a little bit at some of the gameplay, got to know a little bit more of the characters in depth, talked a lot about Bridge Babies, and referred to them as BBs, and really creeped everyone out.
There's a few simpletons I know who are really excited about the FF8 release date.
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm looking forward to that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there.
No,
see, simpleton.
What I really like about Gamescom, because it doesn't have the really big stuff that you know we associate with Tokyo Game Show or with E3, is I tend to pay a bit more attention to some of the other games that maybe, like I said, slipped under my radar, or maybe you didn't notice because, you know, Cyberpunk 2077.
Right.
Bigger shows.
Yeah, so, for sure. I think one of those for me has been the Predator game.
Really?
Did you guys see the trailer for this?
Okay, so when we saw the original kind of tease of it, and we saw, I mean, almost nothing about this E3, but like we could barely even confirm that it was like Predator from the Arnold Schwarzenegger universe.
Yes. Well,
tell me about the Predator game now.
So that's what I liked about it is I mean, you didn't really see a whole ton of gameplay, but what you did see is you saw, you know, these paramilitary guys that were coming in, and you're like, okay, well, I know that this is called Predator, so this could just be some kind of military shooter.
Yeah, that's a perfectly feasible name absolutely. For a military game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you, and then as time goes on, you do start to go, oh, okay, well, there's the tri, you know, the
laser
triangle.
Beam side.
Yeah, the triangle laser beams.
Yep.
And you've got the Predator who's, you know, cloaked. What I'm not entirely sure of is who exactly the player character is.
I think it's both. I think someone plays
the
Predator.
That's what I want!
And then some people play the Marines, because the first half of the trailer was the Marines taking on a guerrilla group or something like that.
Yes, and that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want from a game like this.
Well, and that kind of gameplay is getting really popular with things like Dead by Daylight, which is, it gets that's me fair. Thinking, actually, the Predator would be an amazing addition to Dead by Daylight.
It would, except you could build your own game around it and then have an alien DLC where you can do Alien versus Predator,
which is exactly what the developer said when they're like, you know, why the Predator? And they were basically told, he's like, well, they were like, you know, what game do you want to make? You know, because they had made the Friday the 13th game, I think, are the same people who are doing this.
Oh, well, that game's okay. So if that's the case, because I didn't realize it was the same company, if that's the case, you're absolutely getting a game where you get to play as both the Predator
that's
and
awesome.
The survivors, because
you
that's
need,
what Friday the 13th is, and it's amazing.
You need to understand, this is all I've wanted in a Predator game since I knew what Predator was.
Have you seen much of the Friday the 13th game?
I haven't.
So they've got all the different versions of Jason from the different movies, and he has different abilities based on
like
what he did.
All of them? Do you get to play Jason's mom?
Jason's mom is involved in it. You don't play as her, but she is in it.
No way, yes. Dude! That's
the death scenes in
I'm
it.
I'm so like, into. Like, I have seen those. I've
saw
seen
a video
those.
About the making of those.
Oh yeah.
Creepy. It's good. The one thing I have to ask you though, Nate, because look, the concept, yes, of course, is great, and a game like this should be made. But like the gameplay, I looked, and obviously it was probably something like, you know, super pre-alpha. But like the gameplay itself, watching what they showed us, didn't really impress me a whole lot.
You don't have to impress me. That's the thing.
Okay.
As long as I feel like Predator when I'm playing Predator, that's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah,
that is the only thing
and
that matters.
That's what they do well with Friday the 13th, is when you're playing as Jason, you have like some of his abilities, even like abilities he doesn't actually have, but the movies make him seem like he has.
Yeah.
Like you can like teleport around the map. If someone's not looking at you, you can kind of just like kind of appear behind them.
I love this.
Because like, yeah, it doesn't like people ask as they watch Friday the 13th, how did he like teleport over from the other side of camp?
Yeah. Well, who cares?
Do that. Who cares? It's a campy movie. Enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. I love the concept of this, and really is, you know what it, here's the thing with Predator, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, right?
That's like, fair.
You don't need to bring me new amazing gameplay features.
I have to feel like the Predator.
All I want to do is be able to take a dude with his spinal column intact and rip it out and put it on my belt. Really, that's all I want.
Really, all you need is competent shooter mechanics for the Marines
and good animation.
And you basically just need stealth mechanics and basically some instant kill sequences for the Predator. That's all the game needs to be.
Yeah.
Robbie, what about you?
There are actually two that kind of caught my eye. And the reasons for that is because I feel like these are two genres that are really underserved. The first one was, I think it was called Everspace. It was, you know, a spaceship flying type stuff, you know, very sort of a Rogue Galaxy or No Man's Sky-ish. But the problem with the games that are out there, Rebel Galaxy, the problem with the games of those types that are out there is that they're just like mineral gathering simulators. You don't actually do a whole lot. A lot of what you're doing is just waiting and gathering or flying through nothing in space. Now, this trailer showed a lot of combat in it, which, you know, we haven't had a good, like, really good space combat or like, fighter-style combat since, what, Rogue Squadron on the 64?
Yeah, kind of.
It's been a minute.
It might be about that long.
And so I don't know. I don't necessarily know if this is going to solve that or not. But I've always been craving like a good like space sim that isn't just all spreadsheets all the time,
or all exploration,
is never going to see the light of day ever.
Yes, looking
Star
at
Citizen.
You, Star Citizen. And then the other one, which it was both the mechanics of it, and you know there was kind of a little bit of lighthearted, you know, comedy in the trailer part of it, but Disintegration looked really cool.
This is the one made by the guys that did Halo.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes, which is weird because I'm not a big Halo fan. But it wasn't actually until the end of
this.
Well,
to be fair, it doesn't look like Halo, so.
Well, that's, I guess, fair as well. But through the majority of this, you know, you have one guy who's in, like, a mech suit. You have one guy in, like, a real hover bike type thing. It looks like there was different types of units or maybe classes that you can play, and it's a cooperative stuff where you have to go around and I think the tagline was something like save what's left of humanity or something like that, right?
All right, yeah.
So they were going around, they were battling around like abandoned farms and stuff, and there's like these weird AI alien type things, and like, all right, this is all right and cool, and just the idea of, you know, the whole cooperative shooter type thing I think still needs to be done right. But the part where it really got me, because I'm like, you're just fighting around like farmlands and stuff, you know, big deal or whatever, is like you come around like this curve of like the mountain or whatever, and you see a city, and the entire city is eclipsed by like this giant, huge, like Dark Aster Ronin, the Accuser style spaceship at the end of it.
Right.
Like, oh, you thought the stuff you were fighting in the trailer so far is like the game? Nah.
No.
You gotta fight off the invasion that's already won the Earth. And that part, and so at that point I was kinda like, this is a game to keep an eye on.
All right, well, admittedly now it sounds more like Halo, but
yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. Low bet.
All right, so for me, it was Humankind. Like, that's
okay.
The one that,
okay.
That
hang on.
I got really into.
What was it about the Geico caveman playing a Moog synthesizer in space that made you go, I want to play game?
That's Sojo. That is Sojo.
No, so here's the thing is, I knew the game before, like, I saw the trailer. I knew, like, what Humankind was supposed to be before I saw the trailer. So I just saw that and went, okay, when are you going to show me the game?
Are you a big fan of like Civilization? Because that's essentially what it is.
Yeah,
right?
I love Civilization.
Why do you never talk about it?
You want me to talk about Civilization
more
on the show?
No, but like even like Norris. Norris is our sim guy.
Right.
I did not realize you were into that.
I mean, turn-based strategy games. Yeah, hell yeah. Civilization, Age of Empires. I'm all about it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know you were into Age of Empires.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, the reason I'm excited about this is because it's from the studio that made Endless Space, which is a space turn-based strategy game that I absolutely love. Hmm. So I'm really excited to see their kind of take on Civilization. It looks very comprehensive. But yes, I didn't go into that trailer like oh, what is this weird, interesting like Neanderthal and
so
space
you were
sort of
just
thing.
As confused by the intro then as we were.
Yeah, I was like, because we're like a minute into that opening and on a minute and 47 second trailer, and I'm like, okay, but eventually you need to show me the game. And then they do, and you're like, for like 30 seconds you're like, okay, but this is just Civilization. I'm excited for what it could be, but I would like to see a bit more of it. That would be,
well, if it's Civilization, you've played the game before,
and yet Civilization 5 sucks for some reason, but 4 and 6 are both really good.
Okay.
So, I don't know. We're going to say I love Civilization.
So. I nothing in that trailer got me particularly excited to check out that game.
Yeah. And you know what? Looking at that trailer, I completely agree. I'm excited not because of the trailer. I'm excited because of the company that's making it and what the game is.
Well, again, I mean, even with the two that I wouldn't even say I'm excited for them. I'd like to keep my eye on them. That's what Gamescom was for me. Was sure. Here's what you should maybe just keep an eye out for.
Sure. That's fair enough.
Speaking of which, another game like that for you, I mean, Control is coming out pretty quick here, right?
Yeah.
A week away, right?
By the way, did you get that tweet that I tagged you in?
Yes, okay, I did. Good. I right, did. Good. Yeah. Control, and then another game, Greedfall, just came across my radar that comes out a week after Control, that's looking to like fill in the space that like Dragon Age and The Witcher 3 have left open.
Oh, I need that.
Speaking of The Witcher 3, we did get to see The Witcher 3 on the Switch, which, I mean, listen.
Still blows my mind, dude.
Still don't get Fallout, right?
Why is there no Fallout on the Switch? You can do it. Clearly, you can do it.
Boggles my mind.
The Witcher 3 is easily as big, if not significantly bigger, than New Vegas.
Yep, and Bethesda already has their games on the Switch, so there's something there. There's no reason they should not be on the Switch.
I really do think that they're working on like a 3 and a or New Vegas remaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. Although I also want to see those mod projects come to fruition too.
Yeah.
Cause those are some really,
Fallout Miami looks amazing.
Fallout Miami. And then I saw a video that talked about another mod that takes you to Philly.
I was just about to say, I'm like, isn't there like a Fallout Philly one?
There is one. Yeah, there's they're working on that one as well.
Wow,
all right. Well, cool. Listen, we want to hear from you. What from Gamescom has you excited? Maybe something off the beaten path. Maybe you just want to blather about Death Stranding. I don't know what you would say about it. It's totally incomprehensible, but it doesn't matter. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, even though he's not here, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.